So hi listeners, I'm so excited. I am speaking to Natasha Weiser, all the way from South Africa. And she's another parent, and she is a specialist. Told you, I'm not an expert of any kind, but let us listen. And she's gonna talk to us about how we can, have the conversation, the talk about sex with our young people. So get your teas, your coffees, and sit down and relax. Over to you. Introduce yourself. Tell us your story.
Thanks, Beverly. Thanks for having me today. yes, I'm honored to be here. And do you want me to jump in? I can explain where do I come from with this all talking to your kids about sex. Scary topic.
We're definitely going to get there. But, who are you? My listeners don't know who you are. I mean, I've done a bit of research, but we don't know how you've come to be at this point. So if you give us a little intro.
Okay, that's good. So I'm Natasha and I'm from South Africa, like you said. And I've been a counselor for almost a decade now, a family counselor. And I'm also a Live on Purpose certified coach, a positivity coach. But let me explain how did I get to where I am today. And it all started when I did my studies in psychology and I did my practical in an unplanned pregnancy counseling center. Mm-hmm. So I saw the girls, mm-hmm. young girls, as I think the youngest I could recall, because she's quite memorable, was a 12-year-old girl that was sitting in front of me being pregnant. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I counseled these girls, finding themselves in this situation, and we helped them through the crisis, but whatever choice they make, it's just so hard for these girls. And I must say also, I just don't want to just show the girls, the boys, there are brave men out there that comes with these girls to our counseling center. And then when I talked to these girls, this was not a long time ago, when I talked to them, and I explained to them the purpose of sex, how what happens with your body, and and try to help them understand the consequences and how they can make better decisions and stuff in the future. Mm-hmm. So it is a relationship we build with them. Most of the time they say, well, nobody taught me this.
Yeah.
My parents didn't tell me this. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And everybody that walked out would say, I wish somebody told me. Mm-hmm. And that started this burning desire in me to say, well, we better tell these people. Yeah. Let's get the message out. And obviously, where's the first place we get our information about sex is from our parents.
Yeah.
And that's why I created this coaching program where I help parents to get out of their own way, get comfortable with the uncomfortable conversation and start talking to their kids about sex. Because if we are comfortable with the conversation, we can help these girls, we can help our boys, and they don't need to have the regrets.
Yeah.
They can have better stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited. I'm very passionate of sharing the word out there for parents to start the conversation, because we can't leave it up to the school or the churches, and especially not Google.
Oh my God.
Mr. Google,
I say to my daughter, Google's your friend. Google will give us the definitions.
Yes, but we don't want our kids to go and Google this.
No.
All right. And we live in the Google generation, and it is, they are innocent, our 8-9-year-olds, and they hear words and they go and Google it, because we Google our terms and our maths and things we need for school. So go and Google this. And then they end up seeing stuff they shouldn't. They get exposed to things they're not prepared to. And let us as parents start with the conversation. Let's start positive. I'm a positive coach, so I help our parents to not do damage control, to say, oh, my kid saw porn. Oh, my daughter is pregnant. Oh, my daughter had an abortion and I didn't know.
Right.
I have women coming to my office in my counseling center that has been keeping the secret for 20 years, having an abortion and nobody knows. Know that burden that those ladies walk around with in their lives. So that's why we need to start the conversation. Start it positive. Sex is not ugly, it's actually beautiful. But if we have the conversation, we can teach our kids that it's beautiful, there's certain purposes to sex, and let's do it right. So that's where I came from.
Right.
And now I'm still a counselor. I'm also a coach, and I'm just helping parents talk to their kids about sex. That's what I do.
So Yeah, I mean, you're a braver woman than me. I was just as you were speaking, I was thinking the only message I remember my mum telling me about sex was not to get pregnant, not about the act of sex, not about the emotions that probably come with having sex, when to feel comfortable with my body. I think that I'm speaking from the generation that I come from, all right? My mother never spoke to me about that at all. It's just don't get pregnant. Everything else was finding out things via experience or talking to my friends or reading books. And your imagination is very powerful. So I know that there's a lot of parents out there, you know, in England, we're in the UK, and there's lots of other things that people will think there's more important to talk about than sex. What would you say to somebody who said there's more important things to worry about than sex?
Yes, I love that you brought that up, because, you know, parents will pay like hundreds and hundreds of dollars or pounds, or we in rand, whatever currency you're in, to get that extra math lessons or spend extra time on teaching them this math problem.
Yep.
And you know, in our schools here in South Africa, we have the subject of living science, you know, your body and, you know, your emotions and those type of things. Mm-hmm. And those subjects, the teachers and the parents, when I talk to them, say, oh, that's not an important subject. They just write it down about their emotions and there they go.
Yeah, that's the PHE. I think we call it PHE here, physical health and education.
And when I work with my kids, my own kids now, when we do homework, then my son, he was so mad the other day with me. He brought his history books. And history is important, I understand that. And he said, no, I'm writing history tomorrow, but now living science or whatever you want to call it, based on their bodies and emotions and stuff, that's the following day, but I don't need to study for it. I said, no. You bring that here. Okay, leave the history. You can always go and read about history. How is history going to impact you when you make a life-changing decision like getting an STD or pregnancy, or that's changing your life? And we tend to forget how important it is, because we fear the topic of sex, talking about the difficult words. I'm not sure how for your audience, I won't use all the hard words, but I'm comfortable in using those words, because now we get uncomfortable as parents to use those words, but then we lose out on the opportunity to talk about healthy sex, why we need to have sex, why is the emotion so important when we have sex, and not just go to the negative side, because we just talk about the physical side, and that's what scares the parents, and then we're not talking about actually the most important parts, where we talk about love and defining love and understanding that this is an emotional soul connection you have with this person. It's not just physical, and we lose out on those opportunities of teaching our children this and teaching them values and good discernment and making good relationship choices, because we're just so scared about talking about the plumbing lesson. I call it the plumbing lesson.
I like that, the plumbing lesson. I mean, what I'm reminded of is MTV. And I remember there was a particular, I've got two daughters. One's 19 now, and one is 17, going to be 18. No, one's going to be 20. Good grief, I'm getting old. And I remember when MTV was on, and they were showing all these rap videos. Now, I have nothing against rap. I love rap. I love R&B. I love all of that. But the thing that was getting me was that when we turned the sound down, all I saw was these girls being, I don't know, very over-sexual, very scantily dressed. And the men were just loving the fact that they were, you know, being fawned over by these girls. And I said to my children, I don't want you to watch these videos. We're not going to watch MTV in our house. And they were like, what? And I was like, no. I said, if we want to listen to music, I'm into music, I sing, I do all that kind of stuff. If we want to listen to music, that's fine. But some of these videos where they're just giving you repeated messages that you're just a sex object, and that you don't have emotions or feelings, and that your needs are not as important as the other person's needs when you're meant to be engaging in sex with each other and being intimate, I don't want you to have that message. And they were like, well, mum, it's only a video. And I said, if you play often enough, you will get this little message that keeps coming in the back of your mind that you're not, and you're not as good. You need to act like that in order to attract men like that. And you need to act like that with them. And I said, but that's not the message I want to give you guys at all, at all. And they were quite angry with me for a little while, because I was very sure you weren't watching that crap when I was around, not in my house. And if I heard that it was on and I came into the room and I was like, turn that off. It wasn't because I was scared of sex. It's because I wanted to have a conversation with them, but I didn't know how to start it. I knew what I didn't want.
Yeah, so we understand, and that we call a not goal. I love referring to not goals as a coach. We know what we don't want them to do. I don't want them to get pregnant. I don't want them to be like an object for somebody, like you explained now. Mm-hmm. But do you think, and that's one of the first things in my coaching program that I ask parents, why do you want to talk to your kids about sex? What's the reason? Do you just want to give a plumbing lesson? Or is there some values that you want to teach them? Like you say now, I don't want them to see themselves as an object. But to respect their bodies and value themselves. Mm. So if you ask your why, what is your goal with the talk? All right. Mm-hmm. Then your conversation is going to change to say, I want to teach and empower my daughters and boys to make healthy decisions mm-hmm. that will propel them in a successful future, that will they have will be in a loving, committed relationships one day. Mm-hmm. And that starts with home. But when we have that goal, we can start positive. Now, I love what you shared with your example, because I always have dads and moms talking about things that they first saw, their kids saw something. I had this one dad in South Africa. We had a coaching group session with the parents, and he said, there was two zebras. And we were in the wild, but this guy, good dad, was really upset. And his daughters were sitting in the back of the car, and they were driving through the bushveld. Mm-hmm. And these two zebras was going at it, you know. He said, you know, my daughter's only 8. She can't see it. And I was just driving. And they said, Dad, what are they doing? I was so laughing in that. It was so, he was so passionate.
He was so embarrassed. He was embarrassed. I remember when my partner, when they were younger, he used to bathe. They used to bathe in the same bath. Okay. And I think one day, one of the children must have said, oh, Dad, you've got an elephant's trunk. Why doesn't mum have an elephant trunk? And as soon as she said that, he was just like, all right, you need to come out the bath. I'm never going to have a bath with you guys again. And I was like, but that was like our family quality time. All of us was in that space together. And, you know, we would just need to explain that your body part and my body part are different, but they come together to create the two of you. And we would be able to talk about that. And he was like, no, that's not happening. And I was like, I'm left alone to try and explain this. I'm not equipped.
So we need to see these things, these scenarios as opportunities, like the MTV, like the zebras, like the bathing scenario. We all have all these interesting, funny stories, but we need to be so excited. I get so excited when parents tell me these stories, because I say, well, that's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Use that mm-hmm. to create the foundations to show your kids you are not uncomfortable with this topic. Because mm-hmm. the kids will be as uncomfortable as you are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So if you show you are relaxed, well, that's a good question. Why does daddy's thing looks like an elephant? Yeah. You know, that's a question. You are quite observant. Now, there are two different people in the world, a male and a female, or however you want to explain it in that. I'm not sure how old they were, but the thing is, that's a teaching opportunity to lay the foundation to say, I'm your source of information. We as parents must become the main source of information. Mm-hmm. And when we are the main source of information, your kids will always come back to you to ask, okay, because you're not uncomfortable. But if you are freaking out, okay, and say, oh, no, we don't talk about that, you know, a lot of people say that, or just drive away or just ignore it.
Close your eyes.
So taking into account their age, we need to take into account their age and their knowledge. Yeah. So it's not all about age. Some kids do know more about some things on in a certain age. Mm. That's why I love to use the teaching opportunity as an example. Mm. The one with your MTV one is a beautiful example of teaching your children to say, I call it spot the lie. On TV, you can always play this game, spot the lie. Mm-hmm. So as the video is coming on, the music video or a sitcom or whatever, and you are watching, what do? We stop or, oh no, put it off, or we just ignore it or send the kids away. Well, you know, we're freaking out. Okay, I'm not saying you need to watch all the parts because I agree. We call it conditioning in psychology, obviously. Mm-hmm. Their mind are conditioned to see sex a certain way, like MTV, if they see it that way all the time. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to condition them. But when they see it the first time and you feel a little bit uncomfortable and you want to use that as a teaching opportunity, stop the video and then ask them, spot the lie. Is this how a woman... you would find a husband one day? What type of husband would you get one day if you are looking for him seductively like that? What is he seeing in this woman? What do you think he is seeing her as a loving wife or what, loving person one day, or do you see that is she just the object for his lust?
Yeah.
You see, there's so many opportunities, because that's actually what we as parents want to talk about to our kids about sex. It's not just about the plumbing lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that lesson of valuing yourself, respecting yourself, respecting other people's bodies, and not look after a lustful experience and just going after that. That's what we want to teach our children. And now because we're too scared and we're driving away and closing our eyes, we're missing that. And that's what I want to ask parents. Don't miss those opportunities. And if they're too little, you can make a statement that sets you up for success or a new opportunity next time. To say, well, we can talk about that again when you're a little bit older. So make that open door invitation so that they will come back if they're a little bit young.
Well, I mean, it makes me think, okay, so we are culturally different, okay? So there are some... parents or some there's some parents who our parents never spoke to us about sex, and so obviously we've had to find out a long route. So you saying look for the learning opportunity could be like the total embarrassment for me, you understand, because it would be more like I'm not comfortable even with that myself. So for me to be able to do that with my kids, how is this person saying look for the teachable moments when I'm not comfortable? What kind of advice would you give someone like myself who hasn't had, you know, hasn't had those conversations with their parents? We haven't learned those things, but yet now we're being expected to, and especially during COVID where we've been doing everything in teaching our kids in restriction. You know, how would someone like me who never had that kind of discussion with my mother, how would I have that conversation with my kids then?
Well, thanks for that question. I love that question. Now, in South Africa, maybe I can explain. I'm not sure if you know our culture a lot or our country a lot. We have 11 different national languages. That's how diverse our country is, okay? Uh-huh. 11 national languages, okay? We have Sotho, Zulu. We have, we call ourselves the Rainbow Nation because we truly are the Rainbow Nation. Mm-hmm. And I work with all cultures, Black, Indian, White, Afrikaans, White, English, White, you know, all of them, and everybody's speaking different languages. So it's so fun to live here in South Africa because I get to be exposed to all these people. Now, when I have parent groups, now I love my little small groups because I take about 5 couples and then we have a little coaching group and then we come together once a week and then we discuss these things. Mm-hmm. And then I always ask them, now, why, what's your story? What did your how did your parents start the talk?
Right.
And it's so interesting. The Afrikaner, that's the white Afrikaner, would say, you know, In our culture, it is frowned upon to use those type of words you are using, Natasha. And then a Zulu lady would come and you say, you know, in our culture, my mother would never talk to me like this. We just go and find out for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting for me to see that all us parents are scared. Yeah. Our parents didn't bring it up so much, our generation parents, because there wasn't internet. And there wasn't so, it wasn't so in our faces.
Yeah.
I think about it. If you wanted to find pornography when you were a teenager boy 30 years ago,
you had to go and get a video shop, man. You had to go video shop. Yeah. You know, there was no online looking at porn. There was nothing like that.
Yes. And they would find it the first time that, and it's illegal to go into that video shops and or go and buy the magazine.
Magazine.
So they need to do it illegally. And now in today, our culture, our society today, our kids have it in their hands.
Yeah, that's
it's one
true.
Little click away.
Yeah.
So we as parents need to step up. So this isn't actually the norm for parents to talk so much as I am encouraging them to do.
Right.
Now, how do we get out? How do we do that? Because most of us aren't prepared. I would ask the kids when I work with the teenagers, we do what our parents did. They either didn't have the talk or they gave us a book. Did you get a book or who bought a book for?
No book.
Listen,
I'll tell you, the only talk I got was don't get pregnant. That was it. There was nothing else. There was nothing. My mom's been on the, you know, on the podcast, you know, and we're in a really good place, but no talk.
Yeah.
She was just
It doesn't matter. It doesn't make the parents bad. It's just that was the standard.
Yes.
So I would ask the kids who got a book and then they will raise their hands. Then half of the class would raise their hands because that's what my parents bought us also a book. All right?
Right.
And then I would say, who read the book? And then half of the class's hands would go down. And then they said, then I said, now what did you do with the book? And then they would say, we looked at the pictures. It's so funny. So we are doing what our generation parents has done. Okay. And it seems to me when I work with the different cultures and coaching online as well with other people, it is either frowned upon to talk about it or it's uncomfortable or it's just so ordinary part of our lives. We don't think about what our kids are seeing. Like you are a conscious parent putting, pausing or taking down MTV where others is just like, well, that's the society. They don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about the consequences. So how are we going to change as parents? How do we get out of our own way?
Yeah.
So, and this is my approach to this. I say it's not about you and your uncomfortability. It's about your child and his future or her future. Mm-hmm. So we need, when you approach this, don't think about yourself. Mm-hmm. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's not easy. But if you think about the risk and everything that can scare you out there, and pregnancy and STD is not the scariest thing out there. I think porn addictions and relationships that are damaged by conditioning of the mind is much worse than just a pregnancy, okay? Mm. And actually a pregnancy is a blessing if it's done the right, coming at the right time.
Mm.
So the thing is, we need to get out of our own way. So when you ask, how do I do it? It's not about you and your fears. It's about your child and their future. And then I want to echo what we just said a little, or you said just a little while ago, where you said we focus on all the other things that are important, like maths and history.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And but we need to focus on how important this talk is, because this is going to change your child's life. Mm-hmm. I know if they are pregnant and they're sitting in front of me, that's life changing. I have this little teenage girl that I'm seeing now, that I'm seeing at my office, and her parents didn't talk to her about anything. She got exposed to horrible things, and they brought her to me to say she's depressed and overwhelmed and suicidal,
right.
And they don't understand why. And I was just talking to her half an hour, and there's sexual issues, sexual trauma in her life that caused that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they think they're just bringing her because she's a sad teenager. She's not a sad teenager. She's a traumatized teenager.
Yeah.
And if we talk to our kids, we can prevent that. our sexual experiences has a big impact on our kids' lives. So we need to focus more on that and less on ourselves and less on our fears, because it's our fears that get in our way. So let's focus on them. I hope that's helpful.
No, Natasha, it is really helpful. I'm just thinking of, you know, sometimes it's really hard. Like I've had trauma when I was younger. And so to be courageous enough to try and get out of the way of myself, to have a conversation with my kids because it's about their future, it's hard. And I know that there are other parents out there who, you know, a trauma could be traumatized from their own experiences around sex. And so now suddenly we've got this person expert on the line sort of saying, you know, get out of the way, you know, it's not about you, it's about your children. But I've still got to find either the courage or to understand what my fears are in order to be able to get out of the way. So when you say that you do these coaching with parents, is that really what your focus is, to help us to deal with whatever we're dealing with in order to get out of the way, to have a much more healthier relationship and conversation around the talk with our own children?
Yes. So normally when there's trauma involved, that triggers will be traumatizing to a person that had trauma, definitely.
Yeah.
And then as a counselor, then I will step back as a coach. Okay. So I were a coach now. Now I'm step back. Now I'm a counselor. All right. Because I am a registered counselor. There we need to focus and help the parent to work through her or his trauma first. Because you can't help out of that pain. Because you will hurt yourself. You're reliving all that trauma. Mm-hmm. And again, if we want to help our kids to make positive, healthy decisions and see sex as a beautiful thing, when you come from a trauma place, you can't give that message. So the healing first needs to happen, or at least you need to come to term, maybe not complete healing, but you need some help. Okay, let's just conclude there. There's first help needed, because but think about it. If we don't talk at all, you don't want your child to go through trauma as well. So we don't want them to also experience then trauma on trauma because we didn't bring it up. So then it's actually more courageous, but more important to talk to our kids then, but be more sensitive to the parents' background, obviously, yes. So I definitely do help parents go through that. Like I said, that other lady that I talked to that didn't say she had a abortion so many years ago. And she's got a lot of things to work through before she has confidence to talk. Because now it's about, what if my child asks what I did?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's also a very scary part.
Yeah.
Because now that's also a lot of one of the top list on the top of the list reasons why parents don't want to talk. And especially if they have a firm faith, maybe a Christian faith or something like that, and you want your child to stay pure, and then they ask about your history, then parents rather don't go there because they're scared. What if they ask about my history? And with respect, that is a hard journey to walk. So
it's a hard journey, but I mean, it's a hard journey. Sorry to cut you, Natasha. It's a hard journey, but if we really don't want, I can only talk for myself. I don't really want my kids to go down the same road as me on different levels, right? And so therefore, what I say things like, I was scared, I was abused. The outcome of the abuse was that I sort of tried to hide and not be seen as a sexual being because that was a way to protect myself. But I've had, you mentioned two things before. You said coaching and counseling. Now, some people won't know that there's a difference. They'll think it's all the same, okay? So just to clarify, what do you mean by coach and counsel?
Okay, so if we look at a spectrum like this, okay? Oh, okay, no, people can't see.
Can't see.
So, So if you think about a spectrum from left to right, yeah. Okay? So on the left-hand side, we have a psychiatrist, okay? Somebody that has a mental illness will go to a psychiatrist that has a severe issue, a medical issue that needs medical attention. That's right. A psychiatrist on the far left. Mm-hmm. Then in the middle, we call it a counselor. I call myself a counselor. That's where people come that struggles with trauma, relationship issues like marriage counseling and stuff like that, mm-hmm. where they struggle to function productively in life because of all the history or trauma or things that happened in their life, and they struggle to function. All right. They have some depression and anxiety, and I help them work through that. So that is where you are okay, you are healthy, but you're not thriving. You are healthy, but not thriving. Mm-hmm. Now we go to the complete right-hand side, mm-hmm. and that's coaching. Mm-hmm. Coaching is where you are a healthy, productive individual in society, knowing where you want to go, and you want to get there faster, effectively, and thrive. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's mm-hmm. what coaching does. Coaching takes you to the next level of success.
Right.
So coaching, there's a difference between counseling and coaching, because that's why I said, a counselor will help that hurt, that trauma. Mm-hmm. We need to be sensitive with that. Mm. But a coach will say, okay, you are healthy now. Your muscles is working. Mm-hmm. So let's do that exercises. Okay. Right. Let's do the mental and physical exercises to get you there. Yeah. So that's why I say parents, when they are just scared because it's a tradition, we don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's, you need coaching, okay? Mm-hmm. We need not be scared. We need to help our kids to be better than us, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't make the mistakes that we did. But if you had trauma, you first need a counselor. You need that healing before you can go to coaching. And all right, so that's important to understand the difference.
And I think that's really important, because there's a lot of stigma around, within my culture anyway, around mental health and about, going for one-to-one therapy, who goes for that, you know what I mean? And healing the trauma, or even recognizing that we have trauma. And so I've spent a lot of time mentoring some parents that I'm involved with around, it's important for us to recognize, or for me to recognize, that I'm a victim of some trauma that I've had. In order to help myself to be a better parent, I need to deal with those things, which then frees me to have the conversations that I need to have with my children, which I've been having for the past 7 or 8 years, because I've gone through that one-to-one counseling. Now I'm in that space where, okay, right, that's great. I can talk about that, and I can talk about that honestly. So when I'm speaking to my children about what partner, I'm looking at the qualities that the person has. I want my girls, and I've said it in a podcast anyway, what I want them to be loving themselves as they are and for who they are, good and bad. So that when they meet the next person, they can look at them and say, yes, you're loving yourself. You understand yourself, good and bad. These are the qualities you have. These are the qualities I have. We can work together and communicate. Now you've got a healthier foundation to build upon. And sex and romance and all those things are just added on top, because the foundations of what you want are kind of there. But saying that, right, I remember saying to my daughter, it's okay to know what pleases you and to handle that yourself. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know.
And she was like, Mum, stop there. We don't need to have this conversation. And I was like, no, I believe me, I feel uncomfortable wanting to talk about this conversation, but I know that it's the message that I want to give you is that you need to take the time to know you, and that you know what makes you happy in that area, and you're willing to explore that in a safe environment with another human being, should you choose to. And that's the reason why I bring the topic up. And I bring it up because I want you to know that I'm open to talk to you about that. She was like, thanks, but no thanks, we're done. But I was like, well done, babe. You approached the subject. You brought it up. What do I do next? what I like about what you do, Natasha, because you know
you were so brave. Wow,
I was scared as a puppy. I was like, "What the hell are you doing, Bev?" But I was like, "She's, you know, she's this particular age, and I'd be stupid. Like, if I had a boy child, I'd be stupid to think that he's not aware of his own body, and he's not aware of porn, which we've talked about, and he's not having conversations with his friends, and he's not accessing that on his phone." That's me being totally naive. Now, being totally naive may work for some, right? But once that child encounters a problem, who are they gonna run to? I prefer them to run to me, and we both try and figure it out, and we both struggle to have that conversation. And if we need a coach, then we bring a coach into the relationship so that we can explore that. You, me, us together as a group, as a team, a family. But it's about moving you forward, which is what you're saying you do. And you know what we haven't told people, and I know we've been yabbering on for a while, but what we haven't told people is about some of the programs that you offer, and where to find you on your website and your YouTube channel, because I know that there's going to be parents listening to this, and even young people who are listening to this, who may want to have this kind of conversation with somebody who's going to coach them through. So what programs do you offer? Tell us your website. I'll put that in the link and everything, but please, you know, tell us what programs you offer.
Okay, so my first program is my most passionate one, is my Let's Explain Parent program. That's the one where I help guide parents from the beginning, how to start the conversation, how to set the foundation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of parents hear that, oh, I don't need that until my kids are 9 or 10. I start at 2. Your kids are 2. I already start helping you start those conversations. Now, obviously, a 2-year-old doesn't need to know everything, but I help parents how to set the stage using the appropriate words. It's more about you as a parent when they are 2 than the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. So using the correct words comfortably with the kids. So I help the parents through the journey on helping their, talking to their kids in all ages, because we wait for that one talk, the talk. Right. And actually, it's a continuous conversation throughout all the ages, from 2 to 18. Mm-hmm. And even when they're 20, you want them to still come and talk to you if there's a crisis. Yeah. So the program is set up in that way to help parents to start the conversation. I'm very specific on, like I said, okay, get out of your own way, but I'm giving you specific techniques and tips on how to set yourself up more comfortably, like shoulder to shoulder conversations and things like that, so that you set yourself up for success, all right? And then also get that goal. Why do you want to have that talk? Because that's part of coaching, getting that goal of why do I want to talk to that? And that is, you will find that on my www.letsexplain.org, on my website. You will see there's all my programs. I do go and speak at schools. I talk to parents at schools or at churches, and I do talk, I do give the grade sixes, they're my favorites. I talk to them, I give them the puberty lesson.
Oh, wow.
That's a fun one. So they have the most fantastic questions, those kids.
Of course they do.
They actually will give me about 6 hours with them, and I have so much fun with them because they have the, they just love to ask questions. The people, the teachers say, now, how can you stay so long busy? You know, parents, you don't believe the questions your kids ask, okay?
Right.
They know more than we think they know.
Yeah.
And that's also part of my program. But you will see all of those things are there. But the Let's Explain program is in a digital format. Or if you want to join a group setting, like I explain my little groups that I do with parents, I do it on Zoom, and I do it in South Africa in a group setting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a few options how you can get involved. And then I'm also busy recording my teenager program. I'm almost done. So that's to have digital available. So I do coaching with teenagers. So I have a group of teenagers, all one-on-one, depending on how comfortable the teenager are. Mm-hmm. Then I will talk to the teenagers and help them, because it's easy for them to ask questions to this weird lady that isn't scared to answer.
That's true.
That's true. and they know it's confidential. So and that's also fun for me to do. You can get part of that. I'm recording that so the kids can listen and it's not live. So that's why I'm doing that as well. Yeah. But if you want to contact me, letsexplain.org is actually the fastest way to connect with me.
Oh, well, I'll put that in the link. And I know that you've got a YouTube channel, Let's Explain by Natasha Visser, V-I-S-S-E-R. I would say Visa, but it's great. And I think as well, what you have, you've got an elite program. You've got, you do a group coaching workshops, tween program, teen group tutoring, teen seminars. I mean, you've got a plethora of things on that platform that any parent that wants some support can go in and listen, as well as, you know, subscribe and become a member of your group in order to access and get benefit from you coaching them through and supporting them, which is great, because there's not a lot out there. Well, there is, but, you know, you're here on my platform, so babes, I'm going to sort of support you. Do you know what I mean? but before I go, kind of like before we wrap up, that I want you to ask, what do you think are the five mistakes that parents make about whether or not they're making this, they're going to have this talk?
Okay, so yeah, I've got a YouTube video on that one, so the parents can go and watch that one.
Okay,
so but let me give you the first one is just saying no. Don't do it. Don't get pregnant. Just saying no without giving you any reasons. That's the most horrible thing we can do. Okay. Because Napoleon Hill says, don't deny these evils, but it's not evil sex, but don't deny them, explain them.
Right.
So we need to explain to our kids. We can't just say no without giving a reason. Mm. So I help you parents with giving reasons. Okay, and understanding children makes wiser decision when they are informed. So when we inform them about all the other subjects, why won't we inform them about this? Okay, so don't just say no. All right. And then sure, now you cough me. Oh God, there was more.
There is. You said don't avoid the topic.
Yes, yeah, don't avoid the topic. So that means like the zebra illustration I gave you.
Oh, yes.
Don't avoid it. There's a teaching opportunity, don't avoid them, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so embrace that opportunities and set yourself up for success, all right? Right. So which ones did you write down there? I need to remember.
Sex is not a big deal. Sex is not a big deal.
Yes, that's also a very important one. So we give them the message that sex is not a big deal, all right? But it is a big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, why didn't you talk about it? Why are we uncomfortable? Of course it's a big deal. Mm. It is natural, but there's a difference from being it's a natural part of relationships versus it's not a big deal. Mm. We know instinctively that our choices is going to affect our future. Mm-hmm. It's making a difference in our lives. So we can't just say it's not a big deal. We need to help our kids make healthy decisions. Mm. But it is natural, okay? It is part of nature. It is a desire. It's not evil in that sense. But we need to communicate that to our kids, because I think we get confused there. We try to be too relaxed. Mm-hmm. And then they think they can do anything and everything and with no consequences. There mm-hmm. is consequences when we have irresponsible sex. Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's true. Yeah. I mean, and there's two others that you said, which was don't teach about the values and when we preach to our children. And I'm very mindful that I want people to search out your YouTube channel, and that I want them to connect and listen to more of the stuff that you have available to support parents in having the talk. And I want to make people go to your website, really, to be able to tap in and invest in themselves so that they get the support that they need in order to feel that they are good enough. Do you know what I mean? Because there's too many parents out there who think that they're not good enough, and they are. They just need a little bit of coaching to help them accelerate and get to the next level, which is what you were saying. So before I wrap up, my darling, is there anything that you would have liked to have said that you haven't said? Please.
I have so many things, but I think one thing that will actually fits in very well that you just said is, parents, it's okay if you got it wrong, okay? It's okay if you don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. But say, tell that to your child. So for example, okay, if your child is throwing you off guard in the car or in somewhere where he's like, you know, your breath is taken away. Mm-hmm. Don't fret or don't be so overwhelmed. Say, wow, that's a good question. We need to discuss that. But let's first get this groceries done or whatever, and then we can go and continue that conversation. Yeah. All right. So acknowledge that statement and don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So especially when it comes, I don't even want to go there now because that's also a hard topic. But when it comes to homosexuality or all those type of things, we as parents are very scared our kids will ask that because we don't know what to say. And that's even a harder conversation to have. So it's okay to say, you know what, that's a hard question to ask. Can I come back to you with that answer? Or can we come and go and search for it together and see what is appropriate answer in our culture, in our understanding of sex? Let's talk about that again. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if you don't know, and let your kid know that we'll look for the answers together. Because if you look unsure and uncomfortable, they're not going to come back to you. Because I'm sure they know somebody that will have an answer, even if they ask Google. So I want parents to say, don't be so scared that you will get it wrong. Rather try and then correct along the way. Because that's just opening the door to the conversation. And that's actually what you want, to open the door to conversation. That's what we want.
Mm. You know, I just what was, thank you for that. What was just going through my mind is, I'm sure there's a lot of parents yelling at this podcast right now, sort of saying, what's this woman talking about? She doesn't understand my problem, or, you know, oh, I've got this issue and da, 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 da. And so we can't answer everything in, you know, a 1 hour slot to talk. So I would like to, if we, in the future, there are parents who want to come onto a platform like this to ask you one question, would you be willing for that to happen in the future? I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But if it happens, would you be open to that?
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Yes.
a woman who's not scared.
Yeah.
No, but that's, look, I really appreciate you saying that. And I think you've given us a lot of gold during this interview, this discussion. And, you know, it is a difficult subject for some parents. And I think the way in which you talk about it with such positivity, and it's a fun thing to talk about, will really help those who are listening. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, to speak with me and my listeners. I never know how.
Thanks for your things.
But you know, I really have enjoyed speaking to you. I may have to come to you myself.
We can set up a session and just chat a little bit more, because it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the show with you. It was a lot of fun. I'm honored to be on your show. It was nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you too. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. And right now we're going to say goodbye, be safe, and take care of yourselves and your families, and think about having the talk. Bye.